Log Talk Radio.
I saw before that W. Polanco and Jim Holland retreated, so I'm hoping they join. I know for a fact that Saeed is work somewhere overseas or on a trip, I don't know where, this week, so he might not be able to join. Roadmap Warrior said she was retired.
I can understand that.
This is Cindy F. Solomon with the Global Product Management Talk, and today I am pleased to be live with my co-host, Adrian Tan, at Brainmates in Australia, and also with Veronica Figuerella.
Thank you.
And you are in Venezuela, Veronica?
Yes, for now. I'm here.
The world traveler.
We're truly international tour.
Yes. Veronica Figuerella is a product management professional, and today she's leading a discussion about effectively managing multiple products. Today's businesses are faced with reacting to the increased speed to market for new products, delivering shareholder value for existing products, and allocating relevant resources, including people and money, to current and future projects. As a result, product portfolio managers are faced with legacy problems with too many projects underway and determining which, if any, are worthwhile. They must alleviate issues with limited resources spread too soon and across too many projects taking too long to get to market, and a pipeline full of too many low-value projects. Product portfolio management is about resource allocation to achieve corporate products and innovation objectives. Companies without effective product portfolio management are doomed to fail. This discussion will identify some tools and experiences to improve the demanding task of managing multiple products. I'm delighted to welcome Veronica Figuerella, who is an experienced product manager and marketing specialist. Her experience includes more than 10 years with the telecom industry, including Verizon as a product development manager, telecom as a business portfolio analyst, and managing all the micro and small business voice and data products for Syntel in Australia and internationally. She currently provides small business consulting and is a guest lecturer at Universidad Metropolitana, teaching entrepreneurial skills to undergraduate students.
It's a very sensitive topic. When I started working in the product development area or in Verizon, I was part of the process of forming a management team responsible for actually creating this process for managing a portfolio in a big company that had subsidiaries not only in Venezuela but also in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic. So it was quite an endurement that Verizon went through. So it was massive. And I started being in love with the subject because it's really difficult, and yet you could make it so difficult that it's worthless, or you can choose to make it simple enough so everybody will follow it and be on top with it. And then I started seeing the benefits of having this process to manage a portfolio. And I started reading things, and I started getting around the case studies. And funny enough, every company, no matter the industry, has the same issues. So it comes across as a common problem for no matter if you're small, you're a big company, you're in massive consumption, you're in software development. If you don't have, once you're over one product, I mean, if you're a mono product seller, then you probably won't have a lot of the issues. But once you start diversifying your market and you want to start targeting different segments, then you start having products that sometimes overlap, or you start asking different customers for the same product but then with a special feature, and then you don't know how to develop, and so it can be as complex as you want. So I think it's worth sharing light into like the basics to have a basis for developing a good process regardless of your industry.
First question is there more to important?
Oh, hold on, Neil Davis is listening. Sorry, how sweet. Hi, Neil. Neil's Davis from Accept 360 is listening into our conversation.
Nice. So our first question is there more to portfolio management than budgeting and resource allocation?
Yes. I think that's probably the general idea about people who try to simplify this and put up excuses not to have a proper process or not to look deep into it, but definitely there's a lot more into it. So I have a definition here. It is a dynamic process characterized by uncertainty and changing information, dynamic opportunity, multiple goals and strategic considerations, interdependence among projects and multiple decision makers and sometimes locations. It includes periodical review of the total portfolio, making go-kill decisions, and developing new product. It includes the development process. So it's a lot more than resource allocation. It's a strategic resource allocation. That's pretty much what I think about it. One of its biggest challenges is having all stakeholders understand the process in the same way. So let me just tweet about this. From the product portfolio, the recent post I did on product management, writing there frequently, so I decided to post it before we had our talk, so people could go there and reread what we just talked about.
My response to that question is, I've said that portfolio management is managing the interdependencies of a company's set of products. And that could be strategic, budget, resources, market, about balancing as well.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, do you guys agree?
Yeah.
So it's more than being product-centric. It's thinking, stepping backwards from just with setting a big path from the focus on the product and looking at the whole system around the product that you have to
That's a good word. It's a whole system that's involved in managing a portfolio of products. I like that.
Now, I'm noticing that there are people on Twitter, but not Tweet Chat. So I've retweeted Jim Holland, who says, portfolio management is owning, vision, products, EOL, and a horizon-oriented view. Business, technical, finance. And Neil wants to know, Neil says, thanks, Veronica. Really nice definition. Is that available anywhere?
Yes, it is available on a book that's called Portfolio Management for New Products. Did I put it on the resources? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from Edgett and Kleinschmidt and Robert Cooper as well. So it's Portfolio Management. It's a very famous book. It's pretty much the most sold book about portfolio management.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for listening.
I'm seeing Jim here on Twitter. Good. Okay, so what else about product portfolio management? It is a big effort to align all stakeholders. So the process of managing that portfolio is understood in the same way by everybody. For example, a financial planner typically sees it as an opportunity to allocate resources optimally and efficiently, while an engineer sees it as a place to pick the right projects and foster innovation. Meanwhile, a marketer's priority is that develop products that enhance the brand and diminish time to market or address urgent sales demand. So because everybody has a different view of what it should be, then that makes it a challenge and a dynamic. And, of course, a lot of money is involved in it. So everybody wants a piece of it. So let me see if I can summarize some of that. Oh, thanks, Cindy.
Jim is moving across from Twitter to Tweet Chat. And Niels, I have posted the book. I've replied to his tweet about which book. He's also saying he's tweeting via Tweet Chat, but his tweets are not showing up.
So Jim's saying portfolio management is owning vision products, EOL, which is?
Okay. Life
good. And horizon-oriented view, business, technical, finance. Great. Yeah, pretty much says it all.
Yeah. Poor Jim. No, Jim, I can't see you on Tweet Chat.
Also, Jim should know that I have contacted Twitter directly.
Because
I so want him to participate. I'm always sad when he doesn't show up, and I think one of the issues is
there's
several Jim Hollands.
Oh,
really? And though I also today was having trouble with the Cloud Management Talk Twitter handle, and I noticed that I went into all of the applications that I have it connected to, and I deleted a few applications, and that opened up the screen. Okay, so Q2 is, what are the consequences of poor portfolio management?
Oh, I love this one. So there are many problems when there is not a proper process in place for management of the portfolio. For example, the first one I can think of and the most pressing is that there is a strong reluctance to kill new projects, or, I mean, there is an effective go-kill criteria to continue with a development, to kill an old product, or to increase the amount of resources put in an initiative. So I would say that the first one would be reluctance to kill new product or unprofitable one.
I think it stems from lack of understanding about how your products are interrelated and what products serve which markets. I think without that basic understanding, then you don't know what to do next, really.
Yes.
And you can't make decisions in isolation of products.
Yes.
You've got many products, basically.
Well, do you think it's also that people fall in love with their product, as well as their paycheck may be tied to that product?
Sure, but I think that's the individual product manager view. I think portfolio management ties it all up together, and that's where, you know, even if you are in love with your product, good portfolio manager would say, well, that's in relation to other products. It might be consuming more resources in the business, but bringing in less profit.
Yes. The second one I would say is that lack of criteria to advance, you know, in the management of a portfolio or to analyze them within their product life cycle only adds activity to the list of a product manager. And then the resources are spread to things. New projects and modifications to current products end up running like express trains past review points. So you just like go, go, go. There is no criteria to stop them because there is no probably a single view of the whole market that those products are covering. And it comes down to the questions that we're going to discuss later as to the proper structure that organization needs to have to manage the portfolio, right? Another one that I can think of is then if resources are too thinly spread, then the times to get into the market are just keeps elapsing. I mean, keep getting longer and longer, and the quality gets compromised. So the essential homework isn't done, right? As Adrian was saying, like, if you don't understand how your products are fitting into your market and then just keep adding stuff to it,
yeah,
it's just going to be worse and worse every time you add something else.
Yeah, like cannibalization, for example.
Oh, good one. Yes.
Now, Jim has said that the consequences of poor portfolio management is slow or immediate failure.
Yeah, that's good.
So this is a side question, is there a position called product portfolio management, or is this, you're suggesting that the product manager needs to be the portfolio manager?
I do believe that the products need to be allocated in a way that makes sense for a single product manager. For example, if you're managing data within a telco, that's pretty much what I know, you would probably need to have the bundles associated with data, the spyware, the virus, the antivirus, all the features that you add to, let's say, fix data onto your build so you can have a broader view. But if you start adding to the same person, right, data and mobile voice, and wireless and everything else, then you start losing focus. I think that most of the product portfolio management in a sort of big company, the responsibilities, they fall back into the product group manager because he or she is the one who is supposed to be looking at the market globally, right? Like the marketing, hey, this product or this group of products fits here and let's try to combine these. I mean, for a single product manager, I think it's, of course, they participate as they have to provide information about how the products are doing. But I would be voting for, of course, working together, but not as a single function. Did I make myself clear? What I was saying is that I do believe that there has to be a way of giving a single product manager a portfolio of products just if those products have something in common. Right, whereas a platform or a group of customers or a technology, right, but the head of the group of product managers, I think it's the one who has the biggest responsibility in looking for the sanity of the whole portfolio, right? I mean, you can micromanage your own portfolio, but you have to have somebody else looking outside your box. Another consequence would be no strategic criteria for product selection, product and project. And of course, the immediate result is that the products that are picked are the wrong ones, right?
Yes, absolutely. Back to your question about whether, you know, product managers should manage an entire portfolio. I think that you need a specific portfolio manager, especially in some of the bigger telcos.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're never going... Yeah, I don't think individual product managers should be responsible for their product plus a range of...
I agree.
That way you don't get that very independent view that's sometimes required when you have to make some tough decisions about products to maintain and what to retire.
Yeah, and also, yeah, taking always into account the... Because it also requires the constant management of the base of your customers, right? You have to look at your current products, the new ones that are coming, trying to judge them in real time. And it's very tough because when you analyze current products, they already have in the revenue, they already have the customers. So finding the resources among current products and new ones, it's a difficult call. So if the company doesn't have the strategic view and the guts to bet on the future, then they will stick with the current ones. And as Jim said, it is doomed to failure. So the strategic the strategic light into the product management and process, the product portfolio management process is necessary. It's key. You have to have some faith to bet on your future prospects.
My thesis.
Question three.
What are some of the approaches to portfolio management?
Regardless of the approach taken, you can only do three things, right? Modify existing products, remove unprofitable old ones, and add new products. That's pretty much what you can do with your portfolio. So depending on the company strategy and if, you know, you're looking for short-term, long-term, or a balance, which is the ideal, you would have different approaches. I personally like the GE McKinsey matrix a lot. McKinsey one's my favorite because it actually includes a bit of a mix between the market attractiveness, the product competitiveness, and the promised cash flow this product will bring or is bringing. So it kind of makes a fair fight between current and future products, which gives space for balance, right? That's the first one. There are other, unfortunately, right, a lot of companies are focused on the short term, and so they put a lot of pressure onto new products as for the NPV, the ROI, and it ends up not being fair enough, right? And companies that are a lot more innovative, they tend to go first with a trial and see how that goes, and they go really by stomach. Like, let's say, I mean, Apple, Google, all the technology companies, when they balance their portfolios, I'm sure they have a huge percentage of new things going on there, and it's very different to a more traditional company, let's say a massive consumption or a chemical company, where if they are risk adverse, then they will have methods that are more financially driven than more strategic or visionary driven. And this is very personal decision about the company and what the company stands for, right?
I'm thinking about point three, what some of the approaches to portfolio management is, and you say that it's, you know, you can either add new products through modify existing or remove old products, but potentially there could be other items such as also sort of repositioning your products in different markets, perhaps.
Oh, that's good. It's a market view.
Yeah,
it's a market view. My view is a lot more operational.
I'm kind of, you know, certainly focused on the market. Operational is good too.
Yeah, I know. I need to balance it sometimes.
Veronica, Adrian has a market view of the world, and you said you have what kind of view?
An operational view, because if you want to reposition your products, then you probably end up changing a current one or launching a new one or adding features. Absolutely, there is a need for reposition a product. You'll end up doing one of those three things. That's kind of the operation that follows. Okay, I'm going to reposition this one in a different market, or I'm going to sell the same product to a different segment or people with, I don't know, change the color or the tag or whatever. Just try to be as generic as possible.
And it seems like it requires a team approach, because you need to get buy-in of all these different perspectives, because it's not a matter of changing a feature. It's a matter of the entire ecosystem within the company around that product.
Absolutely.
It's almost like you might be repositioning a whole corporate organization.
Yeah. You can also have, you know, in order to decide what to do, you add or kill or launch a new one, then you can develop a criteria, whether it's strategic or related to the product competitive advantages or how difficult it is to implement or how much financial reward it has. Then you decide what activity you're going to pursue, if you're going to do add a new one, kill one, or just change another. It just all ties back to, what is the company looking for? Do I want to have a lot more cash flow now, or am I investing for the future? Ideally, a portfolio should have both, a balanced portfolio. Should have short-term wins and long-term bets.
Because
it is a bet at the end of the day. You don't know what's going to happen until it's out there.
Well, but you can reduce the risk level of your bet by doing your homework and looking at your market, and as well as looking at your capabilities. And that's where the portfolio management comes in, because it's, again, balancing your company priorities and your products and the number of products you have in your market.
Yeah, well, that ties back to the next question.
Before, when should the portfolio management process kick in?
That's it. And that's about doing the homework, I think. There are, like, two different views. If it should start as early as having an idea, or if they should enter as a later stage when they already have a form, when they're already tested. I like the first one. I personally prefer when they enter very early, because the initial decision to start projects should involve senior people and the whole team who's looking after the balance. They should have some sort of voice into the go, no-go decision. I think it is more like a monitoring effort rather than let's meet every month and start up a portfolio. It should be an ongoing effort, or, you know, many companies just have like some sort of board where they sit down, like the head of finance, the head of engineering, or the head of marketing, the head of product, just to say, okay, these are the initiatives going on, and product managers just stand there and say, this is what we're going to do. But it's all about new products. So who's looking at the whole picture, right?
Mm.
So that's the risk of not looking at the current base, at how are the current products developing and performing. So that's why I think it should be from the very beginning. And the question that these people that are looking after the key areas should be asking is, okay, how does this fit with our current portfolio? Why do we need this? And that's a question often not asked.
Good question, the last one.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of these boards that sit down and discuss, okay, so let's talk about new product development. Few of them ask the question, what about current ones? Why don't you use a current product and change it into something else? Or, look, we have a limited number of products that we can handle. Which one are you going to kill before you launch a new one? So those are the questions that are often not asked. And that's how you overload product managers into developing features and features and features.
So I've just got a question from Niels. What tools do you use for doing product portfolio management?
Okay, that's a good one. There are visual tools. like the McKinsey one that I just shared, but there are a few visual aids, as in, for example, you can also plot market segments against strategic intent, and then in the middle, you will put all your products and projects that are going on, and let's say you have specific interest in one of these segments, so you can see where your gaps are. And maybe you want to focus on, I don't know, you're selling consumer goods and you want to focus on water, and then but you're putting all your efforts into sodas. So you will, that kind of visual aid will help you see the gap. You can also have market risk against technology risk. Is it too expensive to implement versus how attractive or how risky is this market? There are several variables that you can plot against each other, but visual aids, I think it's the most used these days. It's the best one. For example, the other one could be ease of execution against a strategic alignment, and then you can plot big bubbles or small bubbles depending on how much cash flow you think it's going to bring or it's bringing, financial attractiveness versus market attractiveness if you are a financially oriented company, the economic value return it has against market attractiveness. It usually depends on the group of people that's in charge of the strategic portfolio management to decide the variables based on what's important for the company. In that book that we mentioned before, they have like 10 or 12 ways of visual aids. For example, they say here Procter & Gamble have a three-dimensional model. They have net present value, probability of success, and time to launch. So they also include time to market, which is a very good one.
Very complex. Lots of interdependencies, lots of different variables and moving parts to make sure that you sort of pull the right levers to get that to work. Now, Niels asked, would you do that in Excel?
Definitely. You can always plot it in Excel. Yes.
It calls out some software. Contact, you need to do a tools of the trade.
Yes.
This is an audio program where we look deeply at the product and the methodologies that you have for
Neil says he's got one.
Oh.
He'd love to show it to us.
Wow. One of the key actions to design a portfolio management process.
I love that to close. So I have like 11 steps, so I'll try to make it.
All right, I'll go slow so I can capture them.
Make a summary. So the first one we just talked about, where does it begin? Is there a selection process or is it a monitoring effort? First thing is to, of course, everybody has to be on board, right? That's a given for everything you want to do with product, especially if it's a process that involves a lot of people. So first thing I say, is it a selection process where we just sit down once the project is rolling and then we decide if it's good or not, or is it a monitoring effort? Right. Then I would say second thing would be, are we using the process to provide information or it is a model to make decisions? What often happens is that when it's not taken seriously, it ends up being a place where, oh, look how nice these graphs are, or yes, they should be a good one, this is not, but let's just keep on doing everything, right? Or nice information the product development manager or the portfolio analyst put together for us, but we're not making any decisions because we don't have the guts, right? So it needs to be clear if it's only a way of providing information or if it's a decision-making gathering, meeting, process, whatever. Then we need to get alignment on where does the information to fit the process come from and who is responsible for analyzing it and gathering it. So you'll end up having to have a person, an analyst, to sit down with the product managers, with the finance people, with the technical, to say, okay, so this is the models or this is the visual aid that we're using. This is where we're getting the information. This is how often we are meeting. And this is where we make the decisions. Are you agreeing or not? I mean, so because, you know, it tends to be, especially in bigger organizations, that information gathering can be a real nightmare. Then the what resources will be committed at the early stage of the product, and how flexible are those commitments? Sometimes these processes fall either on the too soft side or the too hard side, right? So if we initially committed X amount of dollars to this project, and it's changing in time, we're not going to change the product because, you know, it was only X amount of dollars. But then the market changes, so people that's going to be managing it need to agree on how flexible it's going to be.
So do you know who does this well, which company?
Yeah. Procter & Gamble does a good one. Verizon did a really good job.
Yeah.
At GE, of course. Yeah, GE does it very well. Just trying to read here another example of success. But that's a good question, eh? New product development benchmarking. I think that there are a few references in there, just success cases.
Hi, Jose.
Hi, Jose.
So then we need to have a key indicator. So what are the measurements to indicate that a product is being successful or not? Just agreeing on the criteria. Is it net present value? Is it ROI? Is it how satisfied our customers are with our new ideas or current products? Is it the net promoter scores? What is it? How are we going to measure success within the portfolio? The next one should be, and this is very important, how and when do we decide to kill a product, to be removed from the portfolio? Very uncomfortable one, but yes, it needs to be part of that process. What are the indicators that allow us to kill a product or to remove it or end of life, whatever? Just like Google did with Google Wave. The process was, oops, we're kind of tired of this. Let's just take it out.
It was okay. We put all these features together, but we don't know what to do with it. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We changed our mind.
I like that, yeah. Okay, let's go into the other one. I was on 6. Okay, 7. So how often is a product portfolio review? Okay, so yeah, the previous one was how and when are we going to kill the product, right? What are the indicators? Then is how often are we revising the portfolio mix?
That's a good one.
How often are we revising it? Is it every 6 months, every 3 months, once a year? We don't do it, which is the case for many companies. Then the next one would be, are resources truly aligned with strategy? So that'll be that'll be linked back to adding the strategic alignment to the success of products that are in the market or in the process of being launched. So that was how our products are contributing to strategy and if our resources are truly aligned. The last one was what will be the percentage of new products in the mix and how successful are those new products. And finally, does the company have the right structure to manage the product portfolio? That's pretty much all the pieces for A5. And after that was, what's the right structure for the company, like the HR structure? Okay, because maybe you're having an overhead within a specific division of products that is not letting you to see the whole picture. Like if companies working in silos, or maybe you have a product manager that's overloaded with too many products under his or her belt, and then you need to split it, or do you want to create a separate position for an analyst, a product portfolio analyst, or are you going to give it to strategic planning, or are you going to give it to engineering, or are you going to leave it in the hands of the finance people? I mean, what's the right structure for having an optimal portfolio management process? Do we gather a board every 15 days or so? I mean, does that make sense?
There's lots of good information here, Veronica. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks to you, my love, for being there always. The Helsinki University of Technology, this is fun, but the question of the thesis was, does a small software development company need portfolio management? And they have a really good study here and cases and stuff, so I'll just share it, because I know a lot of our regulars are from software development, so I think it'll be helpful for a lot of people.
And also, Jose's got a statement. The problem with percentage new product criteria is that without complementary criteria, it is sure path to incrementalism.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that's it has to do more with risk and how much do we bet. I mean, if you're a risk-oriented company, then you will probably have a bigger percentage of new products on your mix. Or if you're more like not a risk taker, or if you have a lot of money or you don't have a lot of money. And also, depending on the industry, I think there's a percentage of those new products that fail inevitably. So if you want to have one or two products that are successful, for example, in the telco industry, you need to be launching 10 in a year at minimum. That's statistical. So that's why it has to do with that. Just that, you know, to make it simple, I just said it like that.
And he further says, minor variations are launched to replace existing products and keep upper management happy, gaming the system.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, keeping upper manager happy, that's true.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like some of the decisions that you make with portfolio management is almost like what you do when you go through sort of some innovation exercise. Because it's all about betting where you want to be right, whether it's markets, uncertain markets, certain technology, certain uncertain, and then you start to bot. Maybe you make different, you know, there might be different variables, but essentially you're making the same sort of decision-making process, from what I hear anyway.
Just about the variables, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Adrienne Veronica version. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks to you guys for being there and everybody on the talk who's listening. Thank you so much for joining me. This was my first time and I was a bit nervous. You're both too beautiful. Thank you, ladies.
So, do you teach a class?
I do try to, you know, teach them a little bit about this, especially about because I'm trying to train company owners. I mean, they're small, right? They're 21, 22. They're just in the process of forming themselves, but they need to think big. So I just try to give them out a bit of portfolio management.
Good. Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to help, and I'm hoping to do this again sometime.
Great.
Absolutely. Please come back. And come back to Sydney, huh?
Yeah, I will. May next year, coming back.
Okay. And next week, Elizabeth Quintanilla is joining us. And so I hope to touch base with her to see what the focus of her discussion will be. But we've had the past several talks have all been somewhat related in talking about roadmapping and managing resources. I'm very pleased at the education we're providing here.
Yeah, I'm just going to tweet about my blog post so people can read a bit more about what we said today, and that's it. Thank you, guys.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.